Good morning, everybody. You excited to come to worship today? Please stand. This morning we're celebrating the great things that he has done for us. We have so much to be thankful for. There we go. I mean, look at this gentleman right here sitting in front of us. We got to lift up our worship to the Lord this morning. Come, let us worship our King. Come, let us bow at his feet. He has done great things. See what our Savior has done. See how his love overcomes. He has done great things. He has done great things. O hero of heaven, you conquered the grave. You free every captive and break every chain. Oh God, you have done great things. We dance in your freedom, awake and alive. Oh Jesus, our Savior, name lifted high, oh God, you have done great things. He's been faithful through those storms in our lives. You've been faithful through every storm, and you'll be faithful forevermore. You have done great things. And I know you will do it again. For your promise is yes and amen. You will do great things. God, you do great things. Oh, hero of heaven, you conquered the grave. You free every captive and break every chain. Oh, God, you have done great things. We dance in your freedom, awake and alive. Oh, Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high. Oh, God, you have done great things. We sing hallelujah. Hallelujah, God, above it all. Hallelujah, God, unshakable. Hallelujah, you have done great things. You've done great things. Come on, lift up your worship. Hallelujah, God, above it all. Hallelujah, God, unshakable. Hallelujah, you have done great things. Have done great things. Oh, hero of heaven, you conquered the grave. You free every captive and break every chain. Oh, God, you have done great things. We dance in your freedom, awake and alive. Oh, Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high. Oh, God, you have done great things. You have done great things. Oh, God, you do great things. We have so much as a church to celebrate this morning. Okay, you can be seated.
Well, good morning and welcome this morning. And how many of you believe that God has done great things? Amen. I mean, God is an amazing God, and God is doing great and exciting things. And one of those things this morning is right here with Charlie Winders being in service this morning. And how amazing it is that a week ago, we were here praying for Charlie and everything going on, and here he's with us worshiping this morning. If that doesn't tell you how awesome our God is and how awesome prayer is, I don't know what is. So we're glad you're with us, Charlie, and continue to lift you up in prayers. And what a testimony that is this morning that Charlie's with us and how prayer works and how God does great and mighty things. And he's not done, folks. He's still going to be doing great and mighty things. He's going to do great and mighty things in Charlie's life as he moves forward, because that's who God is and that's what God does. And that's why we're here this morning, to give thanks and praise to our Lord and Savior. So we welcome you this morning. If you're watching online, we welcome you as well, and we're glad you are with us. If you're visiting this morning, we welcome you and just ask you to fill out one of the yellow visitor cards and drop it in the offering plate in the back. That way we have a record of your visit this morning, and we're glad that you're worshiping with us today. Just a few announcements: that the altar flowers today are by Gordon Tolson in memory of his mother. Also, want to be thinking 9:40, if you're here early, right back here in the chapel, we have a quick time of prayer before the service. We gather around and we pray for the service, we pray for the church, we pray for individuals in the church, and that'll be 9:40 every Sunday going forward. So if you're here and you come back for a few minutes, we'd love to have you join us for just a brief time of prayer before the service. Next month is the church picnic on August the 21st, and that will be at the Mountville Park at 11 o'clock in the morning. And so invite you to come and join us as we come together and participate in that. We will not have a morning service. We'll go out to the park at 11, meet there, and I'll do a devotional and some time out there at the park, and that we can come and gather with things. If you need a ride and you want to go, please let me know so we can coordinate for everybody that wants to go. That way, if you need a ride, we can get you there. So please see me if you will need a ride to the church picnic so we can coordinate accordingly. So we hope that you'll join us on August the 21st for our church picnic. Also, just a reminder that immediately following the service next Sunday will be a special charge conference meeting, and the reason for that meeting will be to approve our new leadership model here at Columbia Methodist Church. And so if you would like more information or have questions about that, you can see me after the service, and I'll be glad to answer those questions accordingly. And this morning, as we come together, it is great to be in the house of the Lord. It is great to be worshiping together. It is great to see everybody this morning. And let us prepare our hearts now as we continue to worship this morning, as we go before God in prayer. God, we come before you now, and we give you thanks and praise for who you are and what you're doing. We give you thanks, God, for being a God of great and mighty things. We thank you for bringing us here this morning. We thank you how you're working in our lives, how you're working in our church, how you're working in our community. And we pray this morning as we come to you now and we give you worship, that you'll be pleased with our heart's attitude, that you would hear our thanksgiving, that you would help us to not just sing the words, but allow the words to speak to us this morning, that your Holy Spirit would flow through us and fill us and renew us and shape us. We thank you, God, for Charlie and for everything that is going on in his life, and how your hand of protection has been upon him, and how you've been healing him, and how you've been with the entire family through this time, and how you continue to be with them. Thank you, God, for his testimony, for his encouragement to so many people, including myself during this time, God. Thank you, God, for working in our midst. In your name we pray. Amen. Let us stand and let us continue to worship this morning.
Angels in glory.
sure they got back there because I forgot to dismiss them. Yeah. I got to get back in there. I just want to make sure they got dismissed.
Jesus who bore our sorrows, love unbounded, wonderful, deep and strong. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song. Praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer.
Blessed be the name, blessed be the name,
You may be seated. And we were talking about the power of prayer just a few moments ago, and what another answer to prayer this morning, as Christina and Maverick are with us this morning as well. And so what a joy to have them with us, as well as Charlie this morning, and a testimony to our prayers as we were praying for Maverick as he was in the NICU, and Christina as she was having some issues with her pregnancy. So it's good to see you guys this morning, and glad you're with us. And what a joy it is to have everybody together, and how God answers prayers, and a testimony to that this morning. Let us pray together. Lord, we come before you now, and we lift our hearts to you now, that you would open our hearts, our minds, and our ears, that we might hear you speak to us this morning. And we pray, Lord, that the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O God. Amen. We're going to be continuing on the series of answering the call, and today we're going to be discussing the topic of we need an alignment as a church. If you have your Bibles, or you can follow along behind me, we'll be looking this morning at Isaiah, and we'll be looking at the 28th chapter, and we're going to be starting at verses 23 through 29. I will read it this morning, and then I'll come back to it later on in my sermon. Hear the words of Isaiah. Listen and hear my voice. Pay attention and hear what I say. When a farmer plows for planting, does he plow continually? Does he keep on breaking up and harrowing the soil? When he has leveled the surface, does he not sow caraway and scatter cum? Does he not plant wheat in its place, barley in its plot, and spelt in the field? His God instructs him and teaches him the right way. Caraway is not the threshold with a sledge, nor a cartwheel road over it. Caraway is beaten out with a rod and with a stick. Grain must be ground to make bread, so one does not go on threshing forever. Though he drives the wheels of the threshing cart over it, his horses do not grind it. All this also comes from the Lord Almighty, wonderful in counsel and magnificent in wisdom. The words from prophet Isaiah. Now, I don't know about you, but the one thing I hate about driving is that I have to drive on roads. I know that sounds funny, right? How else would you drive? Well, the reason that I hate driving on roads is because of all the potholes that are in the roads. We know what happens in the wintertime when it snows and the plow trucks come and plow, that they have no choice to just kind of get the snow where it goes, and sometimes that creates big potholes. You know, as you're cruising along the road there, and all of a sudden you come up on a big pothole, and you have to decide whether you're going to go over it or go around it. And when you go around it, you kind of make these really fancy maneuvers to go around it. Or if you go in it, then your car gets kind of sucked into it and goes out of it all. Or it's that wonderful time of year where we see the Pennsylvania state flower come out. Do you know what the Pennsylvania state flower is? Orange construction cones. Yes, folks, it is that time for the Pennsylvania state flower, and we see many of those orange construction cones that are out as they begin to tear up the roads because they're working on it, and then they might fill it or put a steel plate over it, and as you go over them, there's new potholes or new things, and all of a sudden you go over it and your car's alignment gets messed up. You know, it's interesting because I know when my van needs an alignment, that when I begin to park the car and the wheels are straight and the steering wheel is upside down, then I know it's time for an alignment. Or when I look at the fact of my gas mileage is, and I'm not getting as much gas mileage as I used to, it is probably time for an alignment. Now, you see, I have two choices. I can continue to drive my van when it's out of alignment and not really care about it, and continue to do more damage to my van by driving it when it's out of alignment, and my tires will begin to wear, my brakes will begin to wear, and other parts of the van will begin to wear and fall apart. And if I ignore it versus getting an alignment for like $80, the cost is going to be more expensive to fix later on. So I can just ignore it, or I can get the alignment done in the van so that my van is taken care of and my van can last a lot longer and that I can continue to drive it without any issues. You see, I have a choice to make. Do I continue to drive without an alignment, or do I get an alignment so that my car can stay straight on the road? When it comes to the church, and it comes to our mission in the church, and it comes to our relationship with God, we have that choice to make as well. Do we get an alignment in our Christian lives and in our churches so we can grow in our faith and grow in our relationship with God and grow our church? Or do we just continue to ignore things and hope that things will get better if we do not put in the proper time and effort and work to get ourselves aligned? Eventually resulting into long-term effects when we do not get ourselves aligned with God and God's vision and mission for our church and His priorities. We can make excuses and say, well, we just don't have time, or I'm not sure what the future will look like. Or we can come to church and turn the church for different situations, but we really don't want to get involved. We don't want to serve in things. Just like our van, my van needs an alignment, we need an alignment as Christians, and so does our church. You see, when it comes to living out that Great Commission, God did not just say, go and tell the people that will just hear and be content with that. That when it comes to the Great Commission, God didn't say, well, just go and be content with who's here on a Sunday morning and be okay with that. No, when it comes to the Great Commission, Jesus said to go and tell everybody, even those who might not want to respond to it. And so many times as a church, when it comes to the gospel, that we'll share and we'll stay comfortable with things to people who are receptive to it versus those that are not receptive to it. That as a part of who we are means we need to realign ourselves, because so many times as a church and as Christians, we want to see immediate results. We want to see things happen overnight. And when they don't happen overnight, we get frustrated, we throw in the towel, and we say, okay, God, I thought you were going to do something. I've been praying for change. I thought you were going to get a hold of me. I thought you were going to hold this church, God. But nothing's changed. We get frustrated. We throw in the towel, and we say, forget it. I'm not going to give any more of my time, my talent, my gifts, or my service. And God tells us when it comes to the Great Commission, and it comes to realigning ourselves with Him, that we cannot look for quick results. We cannot look for how this will benefit us, or why hasn't anything changed over the past month or two. But instead, it comes down to aligning ourselves with God and His mission, that we need to realize things are not going to happen overnight. That it's going to take time for things to happen. That those immediate results we want, God says, you need to be patient and you need to wait on me. We need to stop looking how all of a sudden things will benefit us as individuals and as a church. And we need to be obedient to God. That is what it's all about, obedience to God. It's about us realigning ourselves and saying, God, I will be obedient to the call that you have put on my life. That is what the Great Commission is all about. It is about obedience, being in God's will where God is working at currently. You know, as a church and as individuals, we forget so many times that it takes work to prepare a field for harvest. So many times as Christians and as a church, we just want to go out and we want to reap the harvest. We want to reap the benefits, but we don't take time to prepare the field so that harvest can come. There is no quick fix. It takes time and patience. It means that as a church, as Christians, that just as a farmer does, we have to go out and clear the field. It means we have to plow it. We have to spread the fertilizer, tend to it, before all of a sudden we can harvest what God has in store for us. Last week at Ad Council, we adopted a new vision and new mission statement for Columbia Methodist Church, along with some different core values and an action plan that will accomplish that new mission and vision statement. And the reason we adopted that new vision and mission statement last week was because we felt as a church we needed to realign ourselves with God and have a renewed focus on God and what God wants to do in our church. And what is that new mission and vision statement? Well, the new mission that we voted on last week to direct us to the future as we come out of things is connecting people to Christ and to each other. That we are connecting ourselves to God on a daily basis. And as in doing that, we're connecting not only us here in these walls, but with people outside the walls. That's why we exist as a church, to connect ourselves to Christ, to grow our relationships with each other and our community. And the new vision statement tells us how we're going to accomplish that, how we're going to go about growing that relationship as well as connecting others together. And that new vision statement says that Columbia and I Methodist Church exists to connect people to Christ and each other by growing in our faith, making disciples of Christ for the transformation of our community. That we're going to grow in our faith and make sure we have opportunities outside of a Sunday morning worship service so that each and every one of us can grow in our faith together. So that when we're able to spend time with God, spend time growing in our relationships together and growing our faith, that will occur not just in worship on Sunday morning, but during the week as well. Making disciples for Christ. That as we learn, we go back and we tell others about Jesus and we bring them along with us on our journey together so that our community is transformed. This is going to be a huge change for us as a church because as we've been looking at things for the last several years, we've been talking about just going out in the community and taking Christ in the community, and we have neglected first and foremost our relationship with God. And then going out and reaching the community. And that new mission and vision statement puts an emphasis on our relationship with God first and foremost, and then going out to the community. It means that we're going to have to do things differently than the way we've done them before. It means that as we grow as a church and we do things as a church, that there are going to be some changes that you're going to see. One of those changes is going to be a logo that I propose and will be proposing to Ad Council next month to decide whether we're going to adopt it or whether it needs to be tweaked. And Deb, if you want to put that logo right there. This logo, as you can see, connects our vision and mission statement as we're walking together and we're connecting to each other as well as we're going to Jesus, the cross. It also is the bridge, which is known as Columbia, what we're known by, the Columbia-Wrightsville Bridge, as we connect people to Christ and each other. It's one of the changes that you'll be seeing going forward that describes who we really are as a church and what we do as a church, as well as where we're at in the community of Pennsylvania. As we go forward in the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at the aspect of Wednesday nights and having a time of brief devotional with everybody that's there so they can kind of come together and just kind of hear a little bit of what's going on, as well as a prayer time and enabling them to play games if they want to play games as well, so that they'll have an entire atmosphere of coming and eating and getting fed both physically and spiritually, that we're combining both together. That we'll be relaunching the homebound visits that we used to have before the pandemic, that individuals can sign up and go visit homebound members that are working tandem with pastoral visits as well from the church. We're talking about having a men's breakfast once a month where we can come together as men and we can pray and support each other. Having a Christian movie night once a month. Doing different things like that. As well, as I mentioned last week, launching life groups. Life groups, meaning that gives us life and sustains us outside of Sunday morning. Life group that'll meet right after church on Sunday mornings, as well as trying to launch life groups into people's homes during the week, so people can get together and connect together during the week and continue to grow in their relationship with God. That it's the hope that we have as we move out of that pandemic state where we've been and move the church forward, that we will continue to grow our relationship with God and impact our community for Christ. All of these things I've mentioned to you this morning, however, are useless if we are not a praying church. All these things that I mentioned to you we can do, but if we are not lifting them up in prayer, they mean nothing. If God is not a part of these things, then it doesn't matter what we do. God will not bless them, and they will not be successful. And that is part of realigning ourselves with God and realigning ourselves with that mission and vision, is that we become a praying church. That every day outside of these walls on a Sunday morning, that we spend time in prayer, seeking God's face. That we ask God to reveal Himself to us. That we lift others up in prayer as well. That we lift the direction of the church up in prayer. That we lift our church leadership up in prayer. That we lift Melody and myself up in prayer as we lead the church in the church leadership. That we ask God to move and do great and mighty things. As a song we sang earlier, God has done great things. God has and will continue to do great things. Prayer works, and we need to stop, and we need to pray. You know, it's interesting because in spending time with Charlie in the hospital, he was sharing with me about prayer and how much prayer has helped him through his process. And as a pastor, you know, you spend time praying for individuals, but you really don't think about the impact that it has. And Charlie was sharing how much the prayers of us as the church individuals gave him a sense of peace, a sense of calmness, a sense of him saying, you know what, I'm going to take it one day at a time. All because we spent time in prayer. But we can't just spend time in prayer for needs. We need to spend time seeking God and His will for us, changing our hearts and asking God to change us, to mold us, to shape us, as we are the clay and He is the potter. When we stop and we pray, we are listening for God's direction for our lives in the church. We're not saying, well, God, this is what I want, but God, Your will be done for this church. When we pray, it moves us into obedience to God, and it realigns us to what matters most, the heart of God. You see, we can be a church that can be driven by self-imposed deadlines, meaning that, well, when are we going to get this ministry started, and when's this ministry going to happen? Or we can just kind of watch our clocks and say, well, time's ticking, how long is it going to take to get this off the ground? Or we can be a people in a church where we are seeking divine opportunities from God through prayer, asking God to align ourselves with Him and His will and what He wants to accomplish on His timeline and not ours. As a church, we need to recognize that God has an overall plan for our lives and for our church and community. That we as a church have a very specific role to play. And that happens when we align ourselves with God and we listen and obey God's voice. You see, we must move away from our own way of thinking. We must move away from our own planning of things. And we need to rely on God and listen to God and obey God to direct us. It's great to have a business plan. Don't get me wrong. We need to have a business plan. We need to have a vision. We need to have a plan of action and what we're going to do as a church as we move forward. But we cannot rely on that ourselves. We need God to influence that plan and direct that plan and that framework. That plan gives us some ideas of where we want to go, but we're not bound to that framework. We are bound to God and God's framework. Think about Jonah in the Old Testament. After he went through a tough time and was testing, and he went to Nineveh and he issued, basically the message was this. He went to Nineveh and said, basically, turn or burn, folks. And that was his message. He didn't get up and say, well, God loves you. God's a person of grace and mercy. He said, here's my framework. God says you either turn to Him or you're going to burn in hell. Thank you very much. Thanks for coming. I'll be up on the mountaintop if you need me. That was Jonah's framework. That was not God's framework. Jonah thought that God was going to say, well, thanks, Jonah, for giving them a message, and now I'm going to destroy them. And that didn't happen. Because in Jonah's framework, he's saying, I can't wait till those people get what they deserve. I can't wait to watch God strike them down. I'm going to sit up here on the mountaintop, and I'm going to have a front row seat to what God's going to do. That wasn't God's framework. God's framework was to redeem the people of Nineveh, where they got on their knees, and they had sackcloths and ashes, and they repented from their sins. And Jonah got angry with God and said, how dare you mess up my framework? How dare you mess up my plans? And God had a few choice words for Jonah. You see, we can do the same thing. We can say, here's our framework. Here's what our expectations are. And then when things don't go our way, we can get upset and frustrated and throw in the towel and say, enough is enough. It's not fair, God. Or we can trust God and say, you know what, God? It's your framework. It's about what you want. It's about the expectations you have. It's about what you want to do through us. That means that sometimes we have to have some spontaneity within the structure. It means that we have to be open to what God is doing. In the Old Testament, when they went to worship in the tents they set up, they thought that God was just bound in that tent. And God had to remind them that He is not bound in that tent, that God is not bound by time or space. But so many times we put God in a box and we say, God, you're bound to this box, you're bound to this structure. And we limit what God can do. God says, you know what? If you want me to do great and mighty things, if you want the Holy Spirit to work in this church in your life, you better be ready for some spontaneity, folks. Some things that might not have been in that blueprint you came up with. Some things that might be outside of it. You better be ready for me to work and throw some spontaneity into things. It means we need to be open to that we can't hold that plan so tight and so fast that there is no room for God to work with spontaneity in that structure. It means that we cannot be masters over the plan. It means we have to let God be the masters of the plan. And then, along with that, going out and completing the vision and the mission of the church. As I mentioned before, adopting the new vision and mission statement will help us keep focused on what matters, continue to keep the main thing the main thing, and that will be our compass for us as a church. It'll be a compass to direct us and guide us to make sure that we're always facing north, that we're always facing God, and not going off to the east or to the west or to the south, but are looking north and moving in the right direction. And that then, folks, will allow us to maximize the harvest. As we realign our thinking and our approach to doing things, we need to begin to think like a farmer does. We need to have a farmer's mentality. We can't be concerned all of a sudden about quick growth or quick change, but instead we need to look at the soil that God has given us. Sometimes that soil is hard, sometimes it's infertile, and sometimes it takes a lot of work to get that soil ready to plant any seed. Prophet Isaiah, going back to our scripture this morning in chapter 28, verses 23 through 26. Listen and hear my voice. Pay attention and hear what I say. When a farmer plows a planting, does he plow continually? Does he keep on breaking up and harrowing the soil? When he has leveled the surface, does he not sow caraway and scatter things? Does he not plant wheat in its place, barley in its plot, and spread in its field? God instructs him and teaches him the right way. When we look at this passage, we find here that first, there is a time preparing the field and preparing the soil. And sometimes, this can be a lengthy process. That as a farmer goes down and he cuts the trees and removes the stumps and begins to dig out the rocks of the soil, breaks up the ground and begins to move any obstacles out of the way and levels it off so it's flat, it could take some time. His goal, the farmer's goal, is to prepare the soil so that it will accept the seed that will be planted for the maximum harvest. When soil's ready, he stops plowing and he starts planting. When we look at our church, we need to start doing a little bit of plowing here. And then we can start doing some planting. We just can't just jump in planting seeds. No, we got to do some work before that with planting. That's what next Sunday's Charge Conference is going to be about. It's about talking about moving and voting to being a one church body leadership council instead of having four different committees that make different decisions that sometimes can be on the same page and sometimes can't be on the same page because they have different people on different committees that have different ideas and views. That by condensing it down to one committee that will be acting as the pastor parish relations committee, the finance committee, the trustees committee, and the ad council, that we'll be able to keep ourselves in line to the vision and mission of the church by everybody being on the same page, by everybody seeking the direction of what God has for us. It will help better communication in the church so that everybody knows what's going on in the church, so that hopefully all of us as members of the church can be on the same page as well. This is part of that plowing process and that getting the soil ready that we've been talking about at a council for a couple of months now as we've been meeting. Getting this ready so we can move forward with it. And that's why we're meeting next Sunday to adopt whether we're going to move forward with this or not as a vote as we move the church forward. Getting obstacles out of the way so we can be able to plant seeds, so we can all be on the same page of what God has for us. The reason we want to do this is because it allows us to be more ministry focused and spend less time in meetings and doing things and be about God's work. That's what we're about. Secondly, when you look at the scripture, you can find that different seeds do better in different kinds of soil. That if you plant wheat in a soil that's intended for barley, guess what? You're not going to have much of a yield of that wheat. The same is true when it comes to us connecting people to Christ and each other. We have different methods or different seeds that we're going to be using over the course of time here so that we can get the best return of our harvest possible that God has for us. That there's not a one-size-fits-all strategy. And as your pastor, I believe in this mission and the vision and the core values. I believe where we're going as a church is what God wants us to go. I strongly believe that God is doing great and mighty things and has been doing great and mighty things over the past 2.5 years. And now, as we're finishing up plowing the field, as we're finishing up moving those rocks from the field, as we get those tree stumps out of the field, that we're ready now to begin moving forward to plant seeds. Over the past 2.5 years, we've been plowing those fields. We've been tending to those fields. We've been getting ready for this moment of planting seeds so that we can reap the harvest. When you go to the last part of Isaiah there in verses 27 through 29, it says, "Carway is not thresh shed with a sledge, nor is a cartwheel rolled over. Carway is beaten out with a rod and with a stick, and grain must be ground and make bread, so one does not go on threshing it forever. Though he drives the wheels of his threshing cart over it, his horses do not grind it. This also comes from the Lord Almighty, wonderful in counsel and magnificent in wisdom." Did you catch that? That God gives the farmer wisdom on how to go ahead and prepare the soil so that he can plant the seeds and get the biggest harvest. And that's how it is with this church. That God is almighty and wonderful in counsel and wisdom, and we need to seek his face and direction in all we do as a church. This shows us how we can reap the harvest and grow as a church and as a people. Both of these sections in Isaiah gives us the assurance of how God is giving us wisdom to proceed. How God is saying that there will be reaping and sowing. And how God says that our end goal is to maximize our harvest. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. "For there is a time for everything. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to uproot." Genesis chapter 8. "As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease." God never ceases working, folks. The ones who do are us. When we throw up our hands and we say, "I've had enough, I'm content with how things are," we're the ones who stop working. God never stops working. So as we realign ourselves as a church with our new vision, our new mission statement, as we begin to think more like a farmer would think and understand the importance of every step in the process of moving this church forward, preparing the soil is just as important as reaping the harvest. Even though it might test our patience, even though it might test our commitment, even though it might frustrate us, God promises that His word will never go back in vain, that we need to put the time in and be patient. Remembering, growing the church and bringing others to Christ is not about immediate results, folks. It's about obedience. It's about obeying God. And if we want to have that stamina to grow our relationship with God and to grow this church, then we need to be in proper alignment with Him. Because, folks, there's still a lot more that needs to be done.
Look around you. There's so much work to do. This world is in no condition for us to simply sit back and watch. There is a tangible, desperate need for Jesus. A glimpse of hope in the midst of hopelessness. Jesus experienced this. He saw it firsthand. The need broke His heart and filled Him with compassion. He turned to His disciples and said, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few." This alone should stir our hearts. It's a calling to make a difference, to share the truth of the gospel, to be a light in the darkness, to be the church. It's time for us to look beyond ourselves, to turn our focus to the field, to answer the call and passionately share the love of Jesus. This is our mandate. This is our mission. Are you ready to do the work?
In response to that video and Pastor Tom's sermon, please stand. And we're going to sing the song that we learned last week, Step by Step, as talking about that as the Lord leads us one step, that we will follow Him step by step into His plan.
I will follow you.
And that is our prayer, that Christ will be magnified through us and in his church. And you know, it's really cool when you hear the cry of a newborn child, isn't it? Because it means there's life. It means this church is alive. It means that God's not done with us yet, that there is more to come. But we have to go before God in prayer, and we have to allow him to be magnified in all that's said and done. It can't be about us. It has to be all about him. And so may the grace and peace of God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore as you go and you leave this place. Amen and amen. Take some time to say hi to somebody this morning you might not have seen, and just spend some time fellowshipping and talking to each other. May you go in peace.